Mrs. Molly Goldblum was sitting on an airplane next to Sven Svensson. Sven was 6'2", blonde-haired, blue-eyed. And Mrs. Goldblum kept staring at him. And eventually, she couldn't stand it anymore, so she said, "Are you Jewish?" He said, "No, I'm not Jewish." So she was quiet for a while and kept looking at him. And she said, "Are you sure you're not Jewish?" "No, no, I'm not Jewish." So she kept looking at him and she said, "You can tell me. I know that you're Jewish." And eventually got sick of it. She said, "Yes, yes, I'm Jewish." So she looks at him and she says, "That's funny, you don't look Jewish." Tell the truth, are you really happy about the way things are going? I'm often thinking the if onlys, you know, if only there wasn't so much division in our church or country. If only my family got me. If only I had 6 good numbers. Like Miss Goldblum, we can start to create a world that has nothing to do with the reality in which we are living. And since we don't like what's going on, we start to imagine, to fantasize, to daydream about what could be or what might be. And those fantasies get us to think, boy, won't it be great when? And that reality starts to diminish in importance, and we start to live in the next thing instead of in this thing. Now, certainly for Christians, the future is important. I mean, we do hope to go to heaven one day, right? And not only for our personal life, but for the whole cosmos, as our scripture readings talk today. You know, the sun and the moon and the stars, it's all part of God's future. What's going to happen with everything? And so we know that the future is important. But the Bible teaches us that the future is not something other than or different from the reality that we are going through now, that the future, in fact, is present in seed in our midst. And so we have to make sure that we're not living in the daydream or in the fantasy about what might be one day, because we have to, in fact, live in this present moment, which has in itself what will be. And I think I pulled out 3 ways to do that from the scriptures today, 3 different techniques we can use to make sure that we're living in the divine present while trusting in the divine future. The first is to watch. We have to watch. Jesus says in the gospel today, "Look at the fig tree." What our Lord does is he points out to the fact that when you look around you, when you see how things are going, you understand that there are times and there are seasons. There are things that develop and things that diminish. And we have to be sensitive to those times and seasons in our life if we're going to live in this present tense, trusting in the future. So when we look around, we'll start to see things. We'll start to see, well, this maybe is my season for my personal growth and development. This is my season maybe for finally forgiving an old wound. This is my season maybe to start paying forward to others for the blessings that I have received in my life. Whatever it is, everyone has their own season. So this is the first task that we have to do. We have to look around and we have to see, you know, there are buds at this point that are coming forth, and they need to grow and develop in order for the fruit to be there. And by looking around and by seeing what's really going on in the world, then we'll be able to trust in what will happen next. So that's the first thing we have to watch, and then we have to wait. We have to wait. There was a line, I don't know whether you noticed it, it really struck me in the epistle today. It says that Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father forever, and then he waits. Then he waits. We're not good, or I'm not good anyway, at waiting. You know, you want to make things happen. You want things to occur, and so you kind of try to be in control of things. But the lesson of the Bible is that even Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the Father, has to wait. We have to wait. We have to sit and wait because I can't control how this relationship is going to go. It takes two people to make a relationship work, so I have to wait and see how it unfolds. I have to sit and wait to understand how the children are going to turn out. I can't manipulate that. I instead just have to live in the dailiness of giving values and hoping that they take roots. I have to sit and wait because I don't know exactly how those different sacrifices I make of my time, of my talent for others are going to work. I don't know what good they're going to do. So this process of waiting is an essential part of trusting in the present and hoping in the future, that we wait on God and don't try to control things. So after we watch and after we wait, then the Bible teaches us we have to wonder. We have to wonder. There was that line from the gospel today, it really struck me, that as to the day or the hour, the angels in heaven, nor even the Son knows, but only the Father. There are things that the angels of heaven and even the Son don't know. And are we content with not knowing, surely? We don't know why I have to put up with this illness and how long it's going to last and what's going to happen in my life. We don't know what that grief which is planted in my soul at the loss of a loved one will ever come to healing. We don't know what is going to make this ache in my soul, this loneliness, this feeling lost. We don't know what's going to cure that. Can we be content with not knowing? Because Jesus did not know the day or the hour. As a common humanity that we share with him teaches us that not knowing is part of the plan. It's the way God has constructed it, that we have to throw ourselves into the future by living this day with whatever courage we have, knowing that our good and gracious God, who's brought us this far by faith, is not about to leave us now. The first Easter Sunday, Jesus was there with all the angels and they're giving high fives and everything, and Michael comes up to him, the great prince, and says to him, well, what happens now? Good job, Jesus, but, you know, what's next? And Jesus says, well, you know, I've got Peter and Andrew and Mary Magdalene and Martha and all down there, and they're going to continue to spread the word. And Michael kind of looks at him quizzically. He says, "You know, you know what they're like, right? You know they're not that reliable." He didn't want to question Jesus' HR skills, you know, but. And Jesus says, "Well, no, they've got it. They have the love of God, and they're going to share it with people, and they're going to let others know about this great good news that we have." And Michael's very skeptical. He says, "Well, they're going to get tired. They're going to get weary, and they're going to not know what the next steps are." And Jesus says, "Well, then they'll share the message with others, and it'll blossom and grow until the ends of the earth." And Michael questions him further. He says, but what about if it doesn't work out? What other plans do you have? What is the contingency for the future?" And Jesus answered him and said, "I don't have any other plans. I'm counting on them." He's counting on us. Amen.